I want to talk to you tonight from an open Bible on the subject of never forget. And as I think about not forgetting, I think about this little letter of Jude that is often forgotten about. Notice the book right behind Jude is the book that everybody talks about. By the way, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation, always in the singular. But everybody wants to talk about Revelation. Teach on Revelation, preach on Revelation. I want to learn about the Revelation. But there is a very important book right in front of the Revelation, and it's this little letter called Jude. And it's important. We can't forget it. I'll tell you one reason we can't forget this book of Jude. It was written by the kid brother of Jesus. So, you know, Jesus had brothers and sisters, right? And one of the brothers of Jesus wrote a book called James. And this kid brother of Jesus, Jude, he wrote this letter. So it's pretty important that we study the letter that one of the brothers of Jesus wrote. Here's another reason that we should never forget this letter. It's about truth. It's about God's truth. And the reason we need this letter is truth is always under attack. You can never let your guard down. Truth is always under attack. There's always a fight for truth. We must defend the truth because the enemy never lets up. And so it's so important. Today, the truth of God's word is under severe attack. We're mocked. We're made fun of. The enemy is doing his best to slip in and poison your minds as the next generation. Let me give an example. So every year at Christ Place, we give out Bibles to all the first graders. So a while back, I started doing this when all the first graders are on the platform with me, all the boys and girls, and we give them their Bible. I'll just walk them through a few verses, and I'll remind them about the truth of God's word. And I'll say, if you're a boy, God made you your gender as a male, as a boy. If you're a girl, your gender is female. That's how God designed you and made you. I'm just saying these simple things, right? Every time I do that, I am blown away at all the emails I get, all the texts I get, even phone calls from people in our church say, thank you for speaking truth like that. Wow. And I'm thinking, okay, this is simple, right? You're a boy, you're a girl. And they are so encouraged because they know the world that we're living in, everything that's nailed down is coming up. And so they are so refreshed that the pastor is saying the truth of God, because today people, they are abandoning the truth and the enemy is planting doubt and lies in the hearts and minds of young people. There was a prophet named Isaiah. He talked about the day that we're living in. He would say in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. He said, woe to those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, everything's flipped. That's why we need the letter of Jude. That's why we as the next generation need to know how to defend the truth and stand for the truth, because it's always under attack. Now, these three verses that Pastor Mike has asked me to teach on, they are straight up truth. And here's what I know about truth. Truth needs a memory. Truth needs a memory, because often we forget the truth. We cannot forget the truth of God's word. Do you have a pretty good memory? So you're blessed now because you're young. But the older you get, you know, you have one foot on a banana peel and the other in the grave. So the truth starts, the memory starts fading a little bit. You don't remember things as you used to. So let me tell you a story. A few weeks ago, I went to see my mom. My mom's 89 and she's been in terrible health. And I just felt like I need to go see my mom. I love going to my parents' house. My dad's in heaven. Mom's still with us. We've lived in this home since I was born. So I'll be 54 in a few weeks. My mom and dad have lived in this home for like 69 years. So when I'm there, my mom and dad's always loved to walk in the neighborhood. And I was walking down the street I grew up in as a kid, and I wanted to see if I could remember the phone numbers of all my childhood friends. So I'm like walking down and like 641-4588, 641-7557, 725-3285, 641-1310. And I was getting kind of cocky. I'm like, man, this is good. I was remembering all these phone numbers of the Sam Boys, Brian Payne, Cliff Browning. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. How can I remember that from like 40 years ago? So I got a little cocky and I began to think, man, I'm really good with my memory. And then the Lord reminded me of something because the enemy kept making me a little prideful about my memory. So I'm so embarrassed to tell you this. There's this couple that I was going to meet them. They were going through some difficulty. So on a Saturday morning, I said, we're going to meet at Chick-fil-A and I'm going to encourage them, disciple them some. And so I forgot all about that appointment. So it was not too long ago on a Saturday, I'm laying in bed. I get a text, and it's the man saying, Pastor Jeff, should we order you something for breakfast? We're at Chick-fil-A waiting on you. And my heart's beating like a trip hammer. I'm humiliated. I'm so embarrassed. I totally forgot. So here they're waiting on me, and there's no way I can get there because, I mean, it's like 35-minute drive from my house. And so I just had to get honest. I didn't lie. I just had to say I'm a bum, and I forgot. I'm sorry. And so, you know, sometimes many of us have good memories, but sometimes we forget things. And that's why we need God's word to remind us of these things. Here's the thing about what I've learned, and this is a great statement for you to write down. This is what I've noticed about a lot of us. We remember what we need to forget, and we forget what we need to remember. So let me say that again. We remember what we need to forget, and we forget what we need to remember. Let me give an example. Some of you remember things that you told that person you forgave them, but you still hold a grudge. Some of you remember sins that you have been forgiven of. You've repented and confessed that sin, but you keep remembering that stuff that you should forget. Now, many of us forget things that we should remember. And that's why we have the letter of Jude, and he's going to teach us some things that we should never forget. And in the Bible, often God will repeat things over and over again. Have you noticed all through the Gospels you hear, we need to love the Lord God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. So God repeats things. So what is important needs to be repeated. When I was growing up, my dad always taught us something. So we grew up in a hunting family, have a lot of guns. I've collected guns over the years. And so here's a lesson my dad has told me since I was a boy. A gun is always loaded. I can hear my dad say that right now. He'd say, boy, a gun is always loaded. And then he showed me something. So in one of the rooms of our house that my parents have lived in forever, there is a bullet hole in the wall. My older brother Randall was cleaning a .38 one day, and he thought it was unloaded, and it fired, and it went right in the wall. So as a boy, my dad said, look, you know who did that? Your brother Randall. Because he was cleaning the gun, he thought it was unloaded, but it was not, it was loaded. He put a bullet in the wall, and he looked at me and said, listen to me, boy, a gun is always loaded. He would repeat that over and over again. Now, I'm a dad, so I tell my children, I've got little things that I repeat all the time. Here's one I tell them, whatever you're looking for, you can find. If you're looking for godly friends, you'll find them. If you're looking for something to complain about, you'll find it. So I've got these lessons that I say often. So that's what Jude is doing. He is giving us some straight up truth that we can never forget. And he wants us to understand that truth is always under attack and we must guard the truth. We must guard it in our own life. There's a warning in the book of Jude. Pastor Mike mentioned it. It's the word apostasy. Now I didn't say pasta. That's what you get at Olive Garden. Apostasy means a turning away. Apostasy means a departure, walking away, rebellion. It means to walk away from truth. It means to walk away from the faith. It means that once you at one time profess something, but no longer is it real in your life, and we are being warned to guard truth, to love truth, to memorize truth, to live truth, to teach truth, to live out God's truth. And he's warning people of there are many apostates that once said they believed in truth, but no longer do they believe. Now, Jesus Christ said in the last days, there'll be two things that will be real prominent. And we're in the last days right now. And these two things are very prominent. Number one, there will be false teaching. False teaching. And number two, there will be a falling away. They're easy to remember with the letter F. There'll be false teaching and there'll be a falling away. There'll be false teaching. Pastor Mike taught about this today. Back in verse 4, he said, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. They're ungodly people. They pervert the grace of God into sensuality. They deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." Now, don't think he's just talking about historical people. He's talking about people right now in the present. And there's a lot of false teachers on YouTube channels. There's a lot of false teachers on popular podcasts. So you've got to be grounded in the truth to know what is true and what is not true. I was talking about my son Josiah. So he's about to head to Carson Newman University in Tennessee. And in high school, he had Mr. Lane that taught them biblical worldview. And I loved how he'd come home and say, "Dad, Mr. Lane said that when you're in college, you need to be in church on Sunday. You need to be in church. But before you ever walk into that church, go on their website and see what they believe." This is what he taught my son. He said, "Look at their doctrine." That means teaching. "Look at their statement of faith. Look at what they believe. Look at what they teach. And then when you go visit, see if it is in sync." And we've got to be so careful today, because so many people can sound true, but they're teaching what is false. The devil is the master at manipulation, and he loves to camouflage false teachers. Matter of fact, he even said that he disguises himself as an angel of light. So we got to always be aware of false teaching. Every letter Paul wrote, he would talk about false teachers except one, and that's Philemon. About every letter Paul would write, he'd warn young people, watch out for false teaching. Second thing Jesus said that's prominent in the last days is a falling away. And what that means is apostasy. It means there's a kid maybe last year at camp, and he said, "Man, I got saved." And this year he didn't come to camp because he's walking around high school saying, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God anymore." And that happens. We all know someone like that, that they made some type of decision. They prayed a prayer. They were baptized. They believed in the truth, but no longer do they. They've walked away from it. They have fallen away from it. The Bible would say they have rebelled, become an apostate. Now, there's a word today that's real popular. I'm not sure if you've heard this word. If not, I'm real surprised. And here's the word that a lot of people are talking about: deconstructed. Have you seen that? I mean, you just see it everywhere today. People go through this deconstruction. There's books written about it. There's popular Christian bloggers that talk about it. And what it is this people that they are revisiting their childhood faith, their faith when they would go to student camp, but then they went to the university. And they got real wise and real smart, right, at the university. And so, like, Pastor Mike, I don't believe what he believes. He would scare me when I was a teenager, and he'd say all that stuff, and he'd sing all that stuff, but I don't believe that anymore. I have deconstructed. I am now reviewing what I believe. This is true. I know a man in the state of Georgia, and at one time he was a youth evangelist. And matter of fact, I was even inviting him to come speak to our young people. He was on the calendar to come. And then something weird happened to him. He started backpedaling, started embracing some stuff that didn't jihad us with scripture, got really weird, and then kind of announced that he's going through a deconstruction, but it wasn't the word then that people were using. Not too long ago, I went to the website of his ministry, and he had some teaching on hell is a myth. Hell is not real. Now, mind blow. This young man, at one time would speak with an open Bible, would teach the truth of God, and now he's departed from all of that. Doesn't believe in the Word of God. Doesn't believe in the tenets of Scripture, the doctrine of Scripture. And he has moved away. So this is real. Jude's not just writing a letter from some 2,000 years ago. This is relevant right now to 2024, to Emmanuel students that we must always be on guard for the truth. The Lord Jesus was speaking one time, and he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let me ask you this. When Jesus comes, will he find faith in you? When the Lord comes back, will he still see you loving him, being faithful, being tethered to the truth of God? So that's why we need to heed these verses that Jude gives us. So Jesus' younger brother Jude gets very direct, and he said, I want to remind you. Look at verse 5a. Here it is. Now I want to remind you. Jude goes back to the Old Testament. So, you know, this is a New Testament book, but he reaches all the way back to the Old Testament, and he's going to give us some stories that we're going to talk about in a moment. He's going to give us some illustrations from the Old Testament, and they're going to be reminders to us. So if things are going to help you in the present, you got to remember things that are important in the past. So if you are faithful to the teachings of God's word, and this is your biblical worldview, this is what centers you. Everything is centered in Scripture. If you were to come up to me and say, what do you think about abortion? I could tell you what I think about it with my Bible open and explain to you why I am for life. How God gave life at conception. It's not my political persuasion. It is my biblical lenses that I look through, and we cannot get away from the past, what God has revealed in his word. Many of us say, I want something new. We really don't need something new. Someone said, if it's new, it's not true, right? And if it's true, it's not new. So we need to remember the room. We all knew what happened 9/11. But some of you weren't even born then. And if you were living during 9/11, you could tell people where you were at and all that stuff. And so every September 11th, there'll be all over social media, never forget, right? Never forget. I have a friend named Sujo John. He was on the 81st floor of the World Trade Center. A friend of mine, he was on the 81st floor. One of the planes, the wing went through the floor he was on. By the grace of God, he escaped. He's a preacher today. He's an evangelist. And, you know, when I met him and heard his story, when you come around to 9/11, I always think about Sujo and the grace of God in his life and how we can never forget, right? I've been to Israel several times, and every time I take a trip to Israel, there's a museum that we visit. And the museum is pretty awesome. It's called Yad Vashem, and it is a Holocaust museum. When my kids went to Israel with me when they're younger, I didn't let my son go in because he was too young. On a recent trip he went, it is very moving. 6 million Jews were killed. Do you know why Israel defends herself? Do you know why Israel is so strong and how we should always be pro-Israel? Their mantra is never again, never again. They will never forget the atrocities of World War II under Adolf Hitler. And when you walk through Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, you are moved. People walk out of the museum and it's like it takes your breath away and there's tears in your eyes and you're like, my goodness, you cannot forget what happened. That's what Jude is reminding us of when he takes us back to the Old Testament. He says, you cannot forget. And we have the tendency to forget. That's why it's good when you hear Bible teaching from Pastor Mike, Brother Andrew, take notes. It's very important to take notes because you'll forget what you're hearing when God's word is taught. I was reading a statistic that came out of the Air Force Academy. We only remember 25% of the stuff that we hear. Think about that. So we preachers have it tough, Brother Mike. So when we're teaching, we're all excited about our message and we've prayed and we've studied hard. And at best, and you're hoping the air works in the room. Amen? Right. Praise God. But if the air's not working, you remember minus 1%, right? So about 25% of what you hear, you'll remember. And that's why God has given us this letter of Jude to not forget. Three illustrations. Here's the first one. Israel's unbelief. So the first illustration Jude gives that we must never forget, he takes us back to the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, God's chosen people that he loved, that he chose, that he blessed, that he cared for, that he delivered. And many of them forgot him. Many of them began to practice disbelief. And that's what he's saying. Look at verse 5c, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now, this is a strong verse, because you're going to see that the deliverer became the destroyer. The savior became the judge. So if you know the story in the book of Exodus, they were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, four centuries. And they were working for Pharaoh, and he was mistreating them. And God raised up Moses, and he was God's chosen one to be the leader, the deliverer. And look what God did. He sent the plagues. He rolled back the Red Sea. He fed them with manna and quail. He would protect them from the sweltering sun. He would lead them at night. He would lead them in the evening. Matter of fact, one of my favorite verses about God's care for his people in Israel, it says that their clothes never wore out, nor their shoes got holes in them. Now, I don't know about you, but my shoes get holes in them after a while. And my clothes get worn out. You know, you'll get something new, and after a couple washes, you look like a bum, right? But think about this. The children of Israel, think about this. Their clothes never looked worn out. Their shoes never looked worn out. God did all that. And can you believe what happened after all God was doing for them? They turned their back on God. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And the story goes like this. You know, God's like wanting them to never forget things. Matter of fact, that's why he gave them the Passover. And you've all heard the story of the Passover. You find it in Exodus 12, that they were delivered out of Egypt by the blood of the lamb, by the blood of a lamb. And remember how they would have the Passover meal, and they would take a lamb in their home, and they would check that lamb to make sure there's no flaws or defects. And then that lamb would be slain, and the dad would take the lamb's blood, and he'd paint it on the top and the sides, which was a basic crude picture of the cross, right? And when the death angel came, he would pass over the home if he saw the blood of the lamb, right? So God gave his people the Passover. The Jews observe it each year. He told them, I want you to observe this so you'll never forget. But then they begin to forget the grace of God. They begin to forget the provisions of God. You know what they did? They begin to complain. They begin to get critical. They begin to say really stupid things like, man, I wish we were back in Egypt. How dumb is that? I mean, for 400 years, they've been in Egypt. It was horrible. They were in slavery. They were making bricks out of straw and mud. And they're like, man, we were living the dream in Egypt. Wish we could go back. See, I'm going to tell you something. Satan will cause you to say some stupid stuff. He'll get into your brain, and he'll make you start thinking things like, man, all the cool kids at school that, you know, drop the F-bomb all the time and do whatever they want to do and live in rebellion and lie and cheat, they look like they're having fun, and I'm one of these straight jacket Christians. I'm going to tell you, it pays to serve Jesus every day, every step of the way. It pays to serve Jesus. You never let the enemy mess up your mind and spoil your thinking to think that God's holding out on you. God's good. God's a blesser. He loves to bless his children. Everything the devil gives, if the devil gives you a piece of candy, it's got a razor blade in it, and it'll tear your system up. Don't buy that lie. But they did. Oh, if we could go back to Egypt. And they begin to murmur. They begin to complain. And they got to a point called Numbers chapter 14, and it was this crisis moment, and God was giving them this land. It was promised to Abraham way back in the book of Genesis, but they begin to doubt God. They practice disbelief. They even wanted to stone their leaders. Where's our pastor Moses? Where's his associate pastor Aaron? Let's stone them. They wanted to get rid of them all. And God brought judgment. Did you know what God did? God brought judgment, and over 1 million died over the age of 20 among the children of Israel. Over 1 million died. Matter of fact, this is one thing they said. They said, would we die in the wilderness? And God let them. I was reading from one commentary a few days ago. On average, there'd be 85 funerals a day. Moses was a busy pastor. 85 stinking funerals a day. And I think every time it reminded people, you don't play around with God. You don't forget truth. You don't forget God. You don't turn your back on God. And so my question to you, have you turned your back on God? I mean, you made a commitment to truth. You made a commitment to the gospel. You repented of your sin. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're like, well, I did that past event. Okay, understand that, because we often go back to a past event. I got saved at student camp 2022. I got saved at student camp 2023. Okay, great. Something happened in 23. Something happened in 2020. How about right now? Where are you at right now? I mean, the word tells us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And many of us are holding on to a decision, to a baptism. And as we look at our life today, there's no fruit. There's no reality. We're not loving God, living for God, talking to God, reading His word, sharing our faith. It's all about ourselves. And that's why the brother of Jesus, baby brother Jude, said, don't you forget the people in Israel, the children of Israel. And if God didn't cut slack on them and God dealt with them in judgment, how much more you need to pay attention to that right now? Well, there's something else here. Not only Israel's unbelief, but notice the angel's rebellion. Okay, so we're moving from verse 5 to verse 6. And I want you to take a look at verse 6. It says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he is kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So when Pastor Mike and I were talking about camp, and he asked me to preach this passage, and I said, yes, sir. And I began to look at this and study and get all my tools and helps out. And I kept reading that verse 6 is the most controversial verse in all the New Testament. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You've been a real blessing to me. Woo! I got down in the thick of it. I got down in the weeds. And boy, I'm telling you, I read from one man that I respect, and I'm like, I agree with him. Then I read another man that I respect, and he didn't agree with that guy. And I'm like, I don't know who to go with. There's a lot of discussion on this. Some people say this is a reference to Isaiah 14, and it's a reference to Ezekiel 28. And if you go back in your Old Testament memory, we know that the devil, also alias his name Lucifer, was a praise angel, was an angel in heaven, and led in worship, led in praise to God. But he became rebellious, and we know that he was kicked out of heaven, and we know that some of his minions, his angels, went with him, demons, we call them today. And a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. So it may be a reference to that rebellion. There's another passage over in Genesis 6. And in Genesis 6, it refers to the sons of man. And it's a reference to angels, fallen angels in Genesis 6. And these fallen angels had relationships with women, which resulted in the birth of giants, which brought the flood that we know about from the book of Genesis, and many adhere to that. So this is where I've landed. My job tonight is not to solve this debate. My job to tell you tonight is never forget you don't get away with rebellion. So whether it's the angels of Isaiah 14 that got booted out of heaven, or whether it's the angels that got with women and produced a bunch of freaks, I don't know. But I know this, you don't get away with any rebellion. Here's what we know about angels. They're prominent, they're powerful, they have position, and those are the very things that make us get squirrely. Position. A lot of you young people, you're thinking about your future. Here's the wrong thing to say about your future. I want power. I want a big position. I want to just crush it and make a lot of money. You really think that's going to do it for you? You really think making a lot of money and having a big fancy office to work out of, or expense account, or flying all around giving orders, you really think that's going to heal the hole in your heart that's looking for security and purpose and meaningfulness? No, it's not. Years ago, I tell the church I pastor often, I was the most arrogant young man in college. I went to a Bible college in Florida. I turned 18 on July. 9. I started college the second week of August. I was so arrogant. I fought with people. I debated all the time. I was a know-it-all. I thought I knew so much about the Bible. I'd argue with professors. I'm embarrassed for what a jerk I was. And at times I'd say, I'm ready to be a pastor. I would have taken a church and crashed it into a pine tree. I wasn't ready to be a pastor. I had no humility. I had no grace. I had no tact. I was a know-it-all. And I'm so thankful God in his grace has matured me and he's helped me. I'm so embarrassed to tell you this story, but I used to pastor a church in Stark, Florida before I've been at Christ Place. I've been at Christ Place now my 21st year. And we built this building down there in Stark, and something so important to me, I wanted my name on the sign. I kept talking to the building committee. Now, we need to make sure my name's on the sign. Oh, would y'all forget? You might never invite me to camp again after you hear this story. I'm like, I want my name on the sign. I want my name on the sign. You come into Christ Place, my name ain't on no sign. Listen, it's not about the pastor. It's about the master. And it's not about you. It's about the master. Now, let me tell you what helped me. I was so cocky and so arrogant, and then someone said this to me. Don't get focused on the position. Have a mission. I say that to you. Don't put so much focus on, I want a position. I want a position. I want a position. You need a mission. You need a mission. Now listen, I have a position. I have a platform. Every Sunday I stand to preach. I'm the pastor of Christ Place Church. But if something happened that I couldn't be the pastor of Christ Place Church, I will also be the pastor on aisle 4 at Publix. If there's a need, if there's a hurt, I don't have to have a platform to share. I can share in the neighborhood. I can share at Walmart. I can share at student camp. I've got a mission. Many of us think so much about position. Position can get you in trouble. You can get prideful. You can get arrogant. These angels had position. These angels had prominence. These angels had power, but it got to their head. Notice what the Bible says. It said that they did not stay within their own position of authority, and they left their proper dwelling. They forgot who made them. They forgot who they were accountable to. They forgot who blessed them. And so often we can get so wrapped up into who we are. I'll tell you, I had a burden when we were raising Becky, our children. I'm thinking one of the most dangerous people to be is a preacher's kid. I prayed for my daughter Macy and my son Josiah because they're always around church. They're always around dad, the preaching, the Bible, all that stuff. And you begin to learn the vocabulary. Sometimes the most dangerous place to be is you're always in church, you never miss, and you can begin to use that as like stars in your column. And you begin to think, oh, I never miss. I'm always at camp. My dad's a deacon. My mom sings in the choir. And you begin to think, oh, I've got position. And there's a lot of people, they've got clout, they've got position, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or they allow that position to mess with their mind, and it causes pride, and it becomes their downfall. Pastor Mike and I have been in this for a while. We both started young in the ministry. We're similar ages. And Pastor Mike, how many men that we respect and we know, they're no longer in the race? Man, I heard this. When I started college, I was 18. We were in chapel. Our president, Dr. Joseph DeBose, said, look around because there'll be some that won't finish with you. And I'm looking around thinking, he's wrong. I told you I was arrogant. Telling the president he's wrong. He's wrong. Everybody will finish. My senior year, there were so many that dropped out. Matter of fact, we elected one man. His first name's Ray. I won't tell you his second name. We elected him as the preacher for the senior class. Everybody thought he was anointed, could preach the stars down. He went on to seminary. Right when he got into seminary, abandoned his wife, walked away from the faith. Mind blow. You can get so caught up in, look all of my position. Look how smart I am. Look at my GPA. Look how everybody likes me. Look how they heart everything I post. I've got it made. You begin to read your own press clippings. You be humble or you'll stumble. You be humble or you'll stumble. And this is a reminder that if God brought judgment on the children of Israel, if God brought judgment on the angels that he created with their power and their clout, don't you forget, God doesn't wink at sin. God doesn't smile at rebellion. God is not mocked, says his word. He gives one more lesson. Sodom and Gomorrah's sexual sin. Verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So when I was a kid, I thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. You know? Yeah, Priscilla and Aquila, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not a husband and wife, they're cities. And notice Jude said surrounding cities beside them. So these were prominent cities, lots of prosperity in Sodom and Gomorrah. They are mentioned 20 times in the Bible, these two cities. You find them in the Old Testament prominently, but also the New Testament here in the book of Jude. And God judged them for sexual perversion, but also, according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 49, they also were judged because of pride and injustice. Now, I want you to think about this month of June. Have you noticed it's called Pride Month? I'm telling you something. Here God is judging Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities for pride, for injustice, and for sexual perversion. What is going on everywhere in our world today? Sexual perversion, pride, and injustice. And so for us to think that we're just going to go on and on and on, and the judgment of God is not going to come, our head is in the sand at best, or we have truly forgotten at worst. Now, in Genesis 19 is where we find the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not going to ask you to turn there tonight, but you might, you know, read that in your group time or in your devotion time tomorrow. But in Genesis 19, that's when God brought judgment. How did God judge these cities? He brought fire and brimstone down. I don't understand that, but it sounds bad. I've heard people talk about hellfire, brimstone preachers. You've heard that, right? Well, the judgment that God brought on Sodom and Gomorrah, he is raining down fire and brimstone. So think about some action movie, you know, think about a lot of the movies that we get into, and you think about their weapons and how they shoot fire at one another. All that's tame to what Almighty God can do and will do. And so he obliterated Sodom and Gomorrah. So I told you, I've been to Israel quite a few times. We always go down to the Dead Sea. And when you travel down to the Dead Sea, it is hot. You go through the Judean wilderness area. You go south, south, south. And I mean, you just look out the bus window and you get thirsty, you know. It's barren, it's dry. By the way, we like to get in the Dead Sea and we float because you don't sink. And but if you ever go under the water or drink it, it'll kill you. So that puts the fear of God and everybody on your trip. I'm like, enjoy yourself at the Dead Sea. If you drink the water you're under, you're going to die. Kind of wakes everybody up. And also at the Dead Sea, people will take mud and they'll rub it all. Anybody have ever been there? They rub mud all over their face because they say it makes you look younger. They believe that lie. Anyway, so I got people on my trip. They got mud all over them. Woo, how do I look, Pastor? Oh, you look wonderful. You look wonderful. And so, but anyway, Sodom and Gomorrah is buried under the Dead Sea, southern part. Can't find it. It's gone. Surrounding cities. God doesn't play around with sexual sin. God doesn't wink at any sin. But in particular here, he says that God judges sexual sin. A believer cannot habitually live in sexual sin. Now, we as believers, we're going to fall. We're going to trip. We're going to get tempted. Sometimes we'll mess into things we shouldn't be messing in. But you cannot Stay in that. Because the Holy Ghost of God lives within you. His divine nature is within you. Christians cannot sin successfully, says Charles Spurgeon. You're like, man, I'm good at sinning. I can sin my face off. You lost. There's no way you can just sin your face off. Because there's something inside you that it's conviction, it's restlessness, it's uneasiness. Because you know, matter of fact, there was a man named Lot who lived in Sodom. And the Bible tells us that his soul was vexed while he was living there. He got into some bad stuff, but the whole time he knew, I don't belong here. This is not good. So if you're a student tonight and you are habitually living in sexual sin and there's no conviction and you're at the point where you don't even feel conviction, listen, God tonight is speaking to your heart. Because that is not a child of God. I'm going to tell you this too. If you're a believer tonight and you're dabbling in sexual sin, you have no joy. You have no joy and you're not in fellowship with the Lord. This is what I know. Any of you guys or gals that take your smartphone and look at bad stuff, what happens every time you do that, it extinguishes your joy in Jesus. And it takes away your fellowship. And you feel distance. It robs you of your praise. Robs you of your worship. It robs you of your peace. There's no way that you can feast your eyes on that which is impure and ungodly and still walk hand in hand with Jesus. It's impossible. You want your joy back? Man, I'm going to tell you, I could get my joy back if I got a new pair of tennis shoes. I could get my joy back if I get a job and make $16 an hour. I could get my joy back if this, that, and the other. No, joy only comes from obedience. Peace only comes from walking with God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The only way you're going to really see God move in your life at Emmanuel Camp is when you get serious about purity. And he's reminding us. He said, this is an example of what I will do with sexual sin. And I think about our world today, and you think about, my goodness. I mean, you know, I heard this years ago that what's about to happen in America, in our world, one of three things: revival, retribution, or the return of Christ. One of the three, right? Revival, we really get right with God. Retribution, judgment's about to fall. Or the return of Jesus Christ. Sexual sin is addictive. It pulls you in. It robs you of your future. It robs you of your peace. I was called to the home. There was a man, a leader in the church, taught Sunday school. Everybody thought he was super spiritual. No one's in the home but him. His wife and his children went on some errands, went to school, practiced things like that. The man is at home looking at pornography on his computer. And had a massive heart attack and died. He's fallen over, dead. His wife and children walk in. What do they see? She sees her husband. They see their daddy. He's dead on the floor. And there's nude pictures all over the screen. What a shameful way to die. Get in my shoes and go to that home. Walk with me up to that door and knock on the door and walk in and try your best to comfort that wife and those children, because about everything he did was counseled out in that final moment. I warn you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, don't get in bondage. Don't get caught in that stuff. It will rob you of peace and joy and power and effectiveness. And if it's your lifestyle, you need to ask yourself, do you truly know Jesus? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Sodom and Gomorrah was a bad place, but there's also another bad town in the Bible called Corinth. And they were as sexually deviant as they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of bad stuff happened. I recently preached to the Corinthians. Pastor Mike, I know you preached to the Corinthians. That was one bad, bad town. And you know what Paul said? He said a lot of you were in all kind of junk, But I love Corinthians when it says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I want you to know this, that whatever sin the devil has got you in, you're in quicksand, and he's just patting you on top of the head right now. And you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. Jesus can rescue you. Jesus can redeem you, transform you, repurpose your life. Holy Spirit will regenerate you, make you a brand new person. You don't have to be your past. You don't have to live in that sin. Christ can forgive you, restore you, give you purpose, change you, your desires, everything about you. Never forget that. Never forget that. The power of the gospel can change any bad habit. The power of the gospel can deliver you from all the deep, deep addictions. That's what Jude is reminding us of. Never forget the truth of God, the power of the gospel. Never forget what God can do in your life. Let's wrap this up tonight. I want you to walk away and get ready for your group time remembering that God has never been timid to judge sin. If God got serious with the children of Israel that got rescued out of Egypt, if God brought judgment on the angels he created, if God brought judgment on prominent, prosperous cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, don't think you can escape God's judgment tonight. God is not mocked. What we sow is what we will reap. We can never take our eye off truth. We've got to hide God's word in our hearts so we will not sin against him. We've got to always be defenders and guardians contending for the faith. I told you my dad raised us to love guns. One time my dad took me on an errand. It was a bad area of town in Jacksonville. And he was in his pickup and he had a .22 rifle that he got when he was a 10-year-old boy. And so it was, it was his most priceless weapon. And he was in the gun rack of his pickup. And he said, Jeff, I got some business to do. I want you to stand here at the entrance of this building. Don't take your eye off that truck because somebody could steal that gun. And I'm like, yes, sir, I won't. I won't take my eye off the truck. But I got thirsty. And there's a Coke machine over there. That Coke machine was about where these doors are. And I was kind of like, I watched that truck. And I went over there and I got me a Coca-Cola. And I'm drinking it, nothing like a good old cold Coca-Cola when the air conditioning doesn't work, amen. And so I'm drinking that Coke, and I look, and the rifle is gone. And those pickups my dad had, it was like these vent windows, and so they popped the vent window open. They got my dad's Marlin .22 rifle, and you know what I began to do? Cry, because I grew up in one of those families. My dad didn't say, he put a whooping on you. Now, not that time, but I'm like, I'm telling you, I just knew I was going to die. I was so upset. I about wet my pants. I'm telling you, he's going to kill me. And my dad came back. He's like, what's wrong with you? He said, boy, I told you not to take your eyes off that truck. Why'd you forget what I told you? Why'd you forget? He said, you'll never forget this lesson, Jeff, as long as you live. You do what your dad told you. You do what your dad tells you. I'm up here telling you a lesson my dad told me a long time ago. Heavenly Father tells us that same lesson from this little letter of Jude. Never forget. Never forget God loves you. Never forget you're kept in his love. Never let someone poison your brain with false teaching. Be tethered to the truth of God. Defend his word. If God judged the angels, children of Israel, Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you think he'll let you skirt by either? We're to guard the truth. We're not to forget.